Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Major Elliot Chodoff of the Israeli Defense Force for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome to the program for the first time Major Elliot Chodoff of the Israeli Defense Force. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
The first thing I want to ask you is, are you shocked that Saudi Arabia and Israel are actively working together against Iran?
No, I'm not shocked, although surprises in the Middle East are sort of the standard. It's surprised when you're not surprised. But I think what we're actually seeing is a combination of phenomena. One is a rising new leadership in Saudi Arabia, the new generation, and an attempt, I think, for the first time in its history to move Saudi Arabia out of being sort of a family kingdom regime to a real state. With that, we have the move of Iran. And Iran has always looked at Saudi Arabia as an enemy, but these days, and literally these days, Iran is on the move. It's taking advantage of the vacuum being created by the defeat of ISIS and other things. There are quite a number of phenomena going on, but it's on the move, and Saudi Arabia sees that move overtly, not only to its north in Iraq and Syria, but also to its south in Yemen. So it's feeling crushed from the two sides, a new regime, and I think that explains the Saudi behavior, which, again, is not shocking, but it's always surprising because very often these are regimes, take Iran as an example, the last time they had a major earthquake, don't know if it's happened this recent one, but the last time they had a major earthquake, we offered to send a rescue team to help rescue their citizens, and their response was, we would rather have them die than be rescued by you. So suicidal behavior is also part of the package in the Middle East. In this case, the Saudis aren't being suicidal.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because, I mean, Saudi Arabia is not suddenly turning into a democracy. This is the crown prince who is literally, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion of all the action he's taken, imprisoning people in the last couple of weeks. But actually, he's been consolidating power for months now.
Yes. It's a Game of Thrones kind of a situation. All the kings up until now have all been brothers, sons of the first king. He's the first of the next generation. He's got lots of cousins who believe that they rightly could sit on the throne, and he wants to deal with them either directly or by threat. In other words, arrest a few of them and let the other ones know that they're on the list. But I think that at the same time, and we've seen hints of this even over the past few years, I think that he wants to rule a much more modern, viable state than the mess that he's inheriting. So I think the two are happening simultaneously.
Is it going to be a slow process? I mean, you know, giving women the ability to drive seems like a minor thing for the rest of the world, but that's a huge step in
right.
Saudi Arabia.
It's hard to predict. If I had to guess, I would say that it's going to happen faster than he would like, because very often when you open the gates, the floodgates pour through. He may try to do it on a much more regulated fashion, but once you start giving people more freedom, they're going to demand more, and I think he's going to be hard pressed to keep up with them. So I don't think it'll become a democracy anytime soon, because that requires institutions that don't exist. But I think that we're going to see a much more responsive leadership there than what has been over the past decades.
Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, a religious Jew, actively negotiating in Saudi Arabia.
Yes. Well, Kissinger was there. The Saudis, for all of their rhetoric, have always been in something of survival mode. The Saudis used to sell us oil. They just would never do it directly. It would be through the spot market. There was a time when they pumped oil through the Golan Heights when we controlled it, and they paid us for the transit fee for the oil pumping. Nobody talked about it, but it was there. So there were always hints of that. I think that the shift today is that it's much more overt, and they're not trying to hide it. They're saying outright, okay, we're working with Israel. We see the threat. We're not going to do it behind the scenes anymore. I would not be shocked if we see some sort of overt official relationship coming up in the next year or two. I wouldn't be shocked if it doesn't happen, but I wouldn't be shocked if it does.
What about Prime Minister Hariri disappearing from Lebanon now? The word is, as we're taping this, that he is set to return to Lebanon, but Lebanon is a mess once again.
Look, Lebanon has been a mess since 1975, since its civil war began, and it's never really gone back together again. Hezbollah dates to 1981, although many of the histories put it in 1982 with the Israeli invasion. It was actually formed the year before that. So it was still during the Civil War. The rise of Hezbollah in the 90s basically was the ultimate death knell of the state of Lebanon. So he may go back, he may try. I wish him the best of luck. I'm very much afraid that he's going to end up the way his father did, getting killed by Hezbollah, by the Iranians.
And yet Hezbollah is saying, hey, we would welcome you to come back.
Right. It's the Middle East. The backstabbing is the standard. I think that he wants a position. I think he'd much rather be in a position of power, even if it's limited power, than be in exile in Saudi Arabia. But I think he's taking an enormous risk. I also don't think it's going to make much of a difference in Lebanon. Hezbollah rules Lebanon. Iran rules Hezbollah. Therefore, Iran rules Lebanon. And that's really the end of the story.
Well, if I can just open that story up a little bit, Hezbollah also has many members in parliament now in
Correct.
Lebanon. So it's not just, you know, a group of folks who are out there, on their own trying to attack Israel.
Correct.
It's actually the government of Lebanon.
Correct. The army of Lebanon is subordinate to Hezbollah. Hezbollah is more powerful than the army. So, yes, Hezbollah has both structural legal power in Lebanon and actual violent capability power in Lebanon. And the two together basically mean that they rule. They take their orders directly from Iran.
Okay, so at this point, if you read the New York Times and others, they say that both Israel and Hezbollah are ready for the next war. But at the moment, they're both showing restraint. Do you anticipate any time soon that war would break out, and what would be the cause that would set that off?
Okay, first of all, let me comment on the statement, because anybody who says that they're ready for war is either a liar or an idiot. You can be in preparation for, but anyone who thinks they're prepared is simply wrong.
Isn't it until the first shot is fired?
That's right. And then everything goes out the window. It will happen. I can't place a date on it. I can say, without giving away any classified information, because it's out there, that we've been preparing for this for years. We've been watching the buildup. We've been watching their organization. They're organized on military terms. Hezbollah is no longer a purely terrorist organization. They're a terrorist organization, but not a purely terrorist organization. They're a military.
And a governmental.
Okay, but I'm talking about in terms of conflict with Israel. Governmental is sort of quasi-legitimacy. That may be interesting in diplomatic terms. But when the fighting starts, we're facing a military organization organized in platoons and companies and battalions, and not three- and five-man cells with anti-tank capability, anti-aircraft capability, rocket capability to the tune of over 200,000 rockets.
So, just for effect, 200,000 rockets.
Right. Don't believe any of the official numbers. They're all wrong, not because they're incompetent, but because of the way official numbers are arrived at always underestimates the reality. Take that at face value. It's kind of involved. By the way, that's true of the number of dead in Syria. The official numbers will always be low because there will always be those who are not counted. But essentially a military organization. And we've seen it. We've watched it. They're not building up just for the sake of building up. They're also very honest about why they're building up, so there's no guesswork involved. When will it happen? Most likely, again, time has no relevance here. We should also keep in mind, timing in countries or in regimes that are not democratic is very, very different from timing in regimes that are. The United States of America works on a four-year cycle, and you can almost by clockwork tell what's going to happen in year one, year two, year three, year four. In a dictatorial regime, there are no cycles. So their timetable is different. They can wait three. They can wait five. Keep in mind that Khamenei, the leader of Iran, is the direct immediate heir of Ayatollah Khomeini. So from 1979 until today, they've only had two leaders.
Right.
So a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, very hard to tell. I will say that it looks like Iran is on the move now, which means that the concern that it's very close is a legitimate concern. It won't happen until Iran gives the order. There's always an off chance that it can happen as a result of a spiral of an event. Highly unlikely. Possible, unlikely. When Iran is ready, they will give the order. When that order is given, Hezbollah will act. And if it's Iran's full-blooded move, which I think they're moving toward, but again, it's hard to put a timetable on it. I think we're going to see it in this country as well. Hezbollah's infiltrated America. We'll see it in Europe. The Iranians are going to make it for a full court press because their interest is not regional. Their interest is global.
All right. Let me back up a second here because, you know, when you make a statement like that, because my initial question was going to be that even though I don't expect you to admit it here, it's pretty much well known that Israel has nuclear weapons.
We will not be the first to introduce nuclear weapons into the Middle East. Yes, go ahead.
But if you see something on a global scale where, you know, not only are you seeing attacks on the northern border of Israel, but in global capitals, potentially including the United States, they are not going to sit back and not fight back. And I don't think that that's going to be a conventional war.
I agree with you, which is why I think we're in a very dangerous period today. I think that there's a hidden question in that question, if I may. Do they not realize who they're taking on? And I think the answer to that is no, they don't. I don't think fascists ever do, which is how we can explain Pearl Harbor, how we explain Hitler's declaration of war on the United States and not the other way around, how we explain bin Laden and 9/11. They really don't understand. They hold democracies to no account. They believe that democracies will roll over and play dead. And we're seeing, I think, the same thing with North Korea today. They're not being irrational. Their frame of the world is simply different, wrong, but different, and they're being rational within their frame. So, yes, look, Iran has already threatened the United States directly. They made a statement last week that America should pull back 2,000 kilometers from Iran or they'll be hit by ballistic missiles. That's quite a statement to make directly to the United States of America. They're building ballistic missiles that can reach the United States. They have a nuclear program. They're thinking global. Their interest in Syria and Lebanon has nothing to do with Shiites and Alawites. It has to do with ports on the Mediterranean. Their interest in Yemen has nothing to do with Houthis. It has to do with closing the Straits of Bab al-Mandeb and neutralizing the Suez Canal. These are global strategic issues, not local Middle Eastern ones.
All right, let's take a break and we can all breathe a little. We'll be back with Major Elliot Chodov of the Israeli Defense Force right after this.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature Build Your Own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Major Elliot Chodoff of the Israeli Defense Force. Very scary segment that we just went through there. You know, when people talk about North Korea, they say that the leader is not irrational, that he wants a seat at the table, and he realizes that if he were to use nuclear weapons or any kind of weapons that would attack the United States, that would be pretty much the end of his regime. The Iranians have played the long game, as you said, only two leaders since the revolution. Why would they risk the annihilation of their population?
So, first of all, rational or irrational, I think rationality is very often confused with prudence, with good decision-making. You can make very rational, wrong decisions. Second, rationality, as I mentioned earlier, has to do with a frame. It's your frame of thinking. It's based on certain premises, which can be totally wrong, and then you can make perfectly rational decisions built on a foundation of error. The Japanese Pearl Harbor was a classic case. They had certain estimates of American industrial capability. They were wrong. They had estimates of American will to fight. That's always the sort of the catch that you can throw in. Say, well, they're going to lose their will after I beat them up a little bit. And then make a perfectly rational decision. If we sink their fleet at Pearl Harbor, we can win a war. Now, any analyst would look at it and say, they're out of their minds. That was the American response on December 8th. But for them, it was a perfectly rational decision. Another aspect of aggression is something that's known in the literature as undue optimism. People begin to, just leaders who get on that track, get on the idea of, okay, well, I can pull this off. Democracies aid that inadvertently because we don't want war and we tend to back down. I mean, even the current administration, which is certainly more, let's say, aggressive in its response than the previous three administrations, is still being careful. It's not just going to the guns and attacking. And every time he makes a threat and all the Americans do is respond verbally, he says, oh, they're really afraid of me. Now, at what point he begins to believe his own rhetoric is an open question. But I think that a country like North Korea or a country like Iran that threatens the United States directly is acting dangerously, even if they think it's rational.
All right, let's take a break. More with Major Elliot Chodoff of the Israeli Defense Force right after this.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures.
At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Major Elliot Chodoff. He's the Israeli with the Israeli Defense Force. I follow a lot of international news. You're the only one speaking like this in terms, publicly at least, of Iran's desires for
global
domination.
They said it. Khomeini said it outright back in 79-80. He said he wanted to resurrect the Persian Empire. I think the Persians feel entitled to it.
But now this is, when you say the Persians, you're talking about the older generation.
No, I'm talking about Iran.
But no. But I'm talking about the they have a very young population.
Yes.
Yet young population appears to be very pro-American. When Americans go and visit Iran, they come back and tell of having a great time, that America is not the great Satan. You have, and I understand that the prime minister is not the leader of Iran, but at the same time, he has presented a more moderate face and was just reelected. It is the religious extremists. Is the rest of the country prepared to go down this rabbit hole?
I believe that they are. I'll give you two sort of counterpoints to that. Americans who went to Germany in 1939 and 1940 got the exact same feeling from the Germans. The German people didn't think that America was the enemy right up until they became the enemy. The other thing is that I would be very careful. People tend to be hospitable in the Middle East in particular. I wouldn't place too much weight on it. I'm not saying that it's false, but I wouldn't place too much weight on it as such. And last but not least, there's a difficulty I think that everyone has in analyzing what's happening within a society from the way it looks to the outsider. And I'll give you another American example.
And we got about 40 seconds.
Okay. Vietnam period. Looking at it from the outside in, it looked horrendous. Students being shot on campus, buildings burning, demonstrations. Was the regime here ever threatened? I think not. But by the same indicators that we use looking at other countries, we look at them and say, oh, those regimes are about to be toppled. I think we have to be very careful in those assessments.
And that's where we have to leave it. I hope that we're able to hook up again in the near future.
Absolutely.
Because I got like 40 more questions. Okay. We never got close. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Major Elliot Chodoff with the Israeli Defense Force, and we'll be right back.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
As always, you can download podcasts of the show free of charge from iTunes. Just search Nevada Newsmakers. It's a great way to keep up with the show. We'll see you on the next broadcast.